We have been for these several weeks now looking at really important themes every service. And as the more time that I have spent in looking and studying these various topics, the more I realize that the Word of God is so wonderful. Amen. And it's so great, so filled with so many wonderful promises. We need to take hold of them and live by them. Amen. And we understand that the Word of God is a living word, a living message to us. So it's not outdated. It's real. And it's real for right now in the present circumstances of your life, whatever that they might be. God has something to say to you and your need and your circumstance, your problem today. And let's trust the Lord this morning to do just that as we look into the Word of God and we talk about this wonderful subject of divine healing. Divine healing. And we're going to read just one verse of Scripture to start with, and then we're going to look at a lot of other verses this morning as we talk about this wonderful promise of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight in the service, we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, of course, of which one of those is the gift of healing. And so we'll have this overlap in the service tonight with the gifts of the Spirit. So I hope that you'll make plans and come back tonight and be here Wednesday night. Trust in the Lord. We were a small group here this past Wednesday night, but a wonderful spirit. Wonderful help from God in the service Wednesday night. So put forth a little extra effort and be here. Every service is important. Amen. Every service is important. And as much as you're able, be here in the house of the Lord. The book of Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 26 is a verse we'll read this morning just as a foundational verse here to get started with divine healing. Exodus 15 and verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptian. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's important as we look into this morning that we go back and you notice that in several of these topics that we go all the way back to creation and to what was going on and how that God was working and moving even in creation. We talked about salvation even before the foundation of the world, that the mind of God, the heart of God was upon you and upon me. That's pretty hard for us to comprehend, but it's the truth. Amen. But at creation, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So we know that when Adam and Eve sinned, our spiritual fathers, when they sinned against God and partook of that forbidden fruit, whenever they did that, the Bible says that the judgment upon them was death. We know that that was spiritual death, but it was also physical death. Up to that point, they were immortal. But now, suddenly, they become mortal. And dying. I think that we all recognize the fact that our lives, all down through the years of our life, even in your physical body, things begin to change. You're not as strong at 40 as you are at 20. And things just begin to change in your physical strength because your body, the natural tendency of your physical body is, you know, you're headed toward that day when you're going to die. And your physical body is it wears out. You don't have the strength as the years go by. And interesting enough, people get older and that now they're trying everything in their power to keep from being old. Or at least to keep from looking old. Amen. Little color on the hair. Something to paint on there to cover up the wrinkles. And whatever you can do to mask it, to hide it. But it doesn't really matter. All the efforts that you put forth, you're still getting older. And we're all headed toward that day, that appointment that we all have with death. We'll talk about that just in a few minutes, and maybe in a little bit more in detail. But we know that whenever sin entered into that garden, into that paradise, that perfect place created by God for Adam and Eve, that when sin came, then the door was opened for Satan, and Satan began to wreak havoc in the lives of mankind. And that's the source of sickness. Sin is the source of sickness. That's where it all began. Whenever man rebelled against God and against the will of God, it opened the door so that the enemy would have access to our physical bodies. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God. God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." And so the closest thing in creation to the likeness and to the appearance of God himself is man. And Satan hates man. He hates you. He hates your physical body because your physical body is a reminder to him that you were created in the image of God. So he hates you. He wants to do everything possible to attack you and to destroy your physical body. He wants to destroy you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so the primary purpose in your physical body is to use it for the glory of God. Amen. Use your body for the glory of God because you are a reminder created in the image of God. And so because of that, you are a target of the enemy. And your physical body is a target of the enemy, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your physical body. But God wants you to use your physical body to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Amen. For that reason, you're created not to bring glory and honor to yourself. Amen. Not to draw attention to yourself. And so, you know, we're warned all through the scripture about that. You don't dress in a way to draw attention to yourself. You're to be discreet. You're to be modest in your appearance because you don't want to destroy this wonderful opportunity to bring glory to God. It's a real temptation to want to dress it up and fix it up and have your appearance to such a state that you're the one that receives all the glory and all of the honor. Amen. That's the natural tendency. But your body was created to bring glory and honor to God. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. You were bought with a price. That means, yes, even your physical body, bought with a price and with a purpose, and that is to bring glory and honor to the Lord. What happens, though, is whenever we reject God, and we reject the purpose of God for our life and the plan of God for our life, then we find ourselves under the chastisement and the punishment for sin. And one of the reasons that sickness is able to have such prevalence in our world and in our lives is because of our attitude toward God and our rejection of the things of God. Amen. It's true. Let me read to you some verses from Deuteronomy 28. "Shall come to pass," this is Deuteronomy 28 verse 15.
It shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, that I will command thee this day that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Skipping down to verse 22. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Skipping down to verse 27 of the same chapter. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? It sounds horrible. As a result of rejection of God, a turning away from God, what happens is, whenever you rebel against God, you remove this wonderful covering of protection. Whenever you rebel against God, then you open yourself up to the attack against even your physical body. Now, that's not the only reason that people are sick. It's only one of the reasons why that people are sick. But we can see this, and there is more illustrations in the scripture of this than I can even enumerate. But let me just mention just two or three here. Miriam rose up against Moses and said, listen, you think you can talk for God? We can all talk for God. We're equal with you. We can all talk with God just like you can. Miriam was stricken with leprosy in her body because of her pride and because she was standing up and resisting an authority that was established by God. And as a result, leprosy came up in her body. And if it was not for the compassionate prayer of Moses as he prayed and said, oh Lord, heal her of this leprosy. And the Lord honored his prayer and set her free of that leprosy. Uzziah was a king. And the Bible says as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But when he was lifted up, when he was strong, he was lifted up and he was self-confident. Then he went beyond. He crossed over the boundary and went into the temple and there offered sacrifices and did the ministry that only the priest should have been authorized to fulfill. And as the result of that, the Bible says that he was stricken with leprosy. And he lived out the entire days of his life with that leprosy and died in that shame of leprosy because of the pride that was lifted up in his heart. The Israelites in Numbers chapter 25, they committed whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. As a result, this is in Numbers 25, 24,000 people died because of the fornication and the idolatry and the adultery that was going on among the Israelites. That's just three illustrations of the judgment that fell upon the people and the chastisement that came to them because they were persistent in sinning against God. Now, it sounds severe, and it is a serious thing, but we need to be reminded of something very important. And I wanted to lay this as a foundation because I really believe that we need to understand that as a Christian, we're in a completely different category. As the person who is a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Job, I believe that Christians, according to the experience of Job, Job had this wonderful protection that was around him. The Bible says he was a man who was holy. He was upright. He hated evil. And as a result of that, he followed the Lord. And he even offered sacrifices even in behalf of his family and for fear that they would fall into sin. He was very thorough in his righteousness. But the Bible says that God said to Satan, Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? And Satan said, Job serves you for naught. He serves you for selfish reasons. Who wouldn't serve you, God? Because you take care of him. You've protected him. You've got this hedge built around him. And I can't get to him. Glory to God. Thank God that if you'll live before God and you'll live righteous and before the Lord, that there's a wonderful divine hedge that God has provided there. And the only reason that hedge is lifted is if God has a purpose for that. And if God has a purpose, sometimes we'll know, we'll understand the fulfillment of that purpose, the reason for it. Maybe we won't know until we get to heaven what God was doing and how that He was working. But it was true in the case of Job. Job chapter 1 and verse number 9. Then Satan answered, the Lord said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side, and thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? And so all of these things, there is this wonderful preservation hedge that was built and was a protecting. And the only reason that he was able to get to Job was because God had a purpose in raising up that hedge and allowing him to suffer what he suffered. Now, the subject of Christian suffering is such a huge subject. It's more than we can talk about. It's just one little part of this message here this morning. But we need to understand, though, that whenever, as a Christian, we're sick in our physical bodies, that is a good time. It's an appropriate time for self-examination. It's a good time to examine yourself. Brother K.A. Smith used to say, as he visited hospitals so much that they thought he was a doctor in the hospital. And he said, I've found that people, when they're flat of their back, they are already looking up toward God. And they never give any consideration. They may have never given any consideration to God, but now in the predicament that they're in, they are now looking up and saying, God, I need your help. I need you to minister to me and to help me in the situation that I am in. So sickness is an appropriate time to examine yourself. And I encourage you to do that. Sickness also comes because, not only because of sin, but because we break natural laws. If the weather is 15 degrees outside with ice and snow, and you go out without the appropriate covering, you can expect that your physical body is going to react to that. The devil didn't put it on you. You did it to yourself. Amen. So anywhere along the line that you break natural laws, and this too is a huge subject whereby by many ways we are able to defile the body. And when we do, we suffer the consequences for it. Whenever it's out of balance, if you don't exercise enough, then it can lead to health problems. If you go to the other extreme and you overwork, it can cause health problems. There's so many issues. If you overeat or if you eat the wrong things, it can cause physical problems. The list goes on and on of the possibilities of what can happen to us in our physical bodies. Amen. And remember that we were created, we were bought with a price, and we are to be glorifying God with our body and our spirit. It's a tremendous challenge. But it's yet the call of God, and it's the will of God for us to bring glory and honor to the Lord in that way. Amen. He is the giver of life. Amen. It's my conviction that God is not the source of disease and sickness. I don't believe He is. But I do believe that we open the door and we provide access to our lives whenever we're rebellious, whenever we're stubborn, whenever we resist the will of God and the plan of God, then we do give Him access to our life. But Jesus is the giver of life. Amen. He's the giver of health. Jesus is the one who came to destroy the works of the devil. And that includes disease and sickness and all kinds of physical problems that can occur in our life. God has come. He's provided healing and deliverance and health. It's available to us through the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. People, I've heard this before. I don't remember. I know that Brother Gothard mentioned it, and others have mentioned this, that we are immortal until God is through with us. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That our lives are in His hands. But we certainly do not want to open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy, cut ourselves short of living out our life and the potential of our life by our resistance and our rebellion against God. Amen. Glory to God. So there is, we know that we've already been talking about the fact that there is a sickness unto death. We understand that our physical bodies, as the years go by, they begin to decline, and your sight is not that good. I have bifocals. Some of you have trifocals. About several of you all have devices that you're using this morning to help you hear the service. And we're grateful for all these things, but it's all just a reminder to us that our physical bodies wear out, and we're declining to that day. We pass away. Sure, there is a sickness unto death. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I don't think this is scripture that I gave to Brother James, but maybe it is, but talks about the fact that this wise man Solomon said that the day of death, that day of death is more blessed or greater than the day of that of a person's birth. As I was thinking about that, I thought, how can that be possible? Because when a baby is born, that's like a big celebration. Everybody's happy and joyous. When someone dies, then it's a sad, sad day. It's a horrible thing when you lose someone in death. But the wise man Solomon is talking about this from the perspective of the spiritual. Amen. The day of dying, your day of death, greater than the day of your birth. Because you are ushered into eternity, into the glories of the presence of the Lord more than we could ever comprehend. And so we understand that, sure, there is a sickness unto death. But there's also a sickness for the glory of God. A sickness for the glory of God. Amen. John 11 is a story about Jesus coming to see about his friend Lazarus. And when he gets there, Lazarus is already dead. And in John 11 and verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." This sickness was for the glory of God. But we know that Lazarus was dead. How could this sickness be for the glory of God? Well, it was just a few days later that Lazarus came forth at the command of the Lord. He came forth out of that tomb, and the testimony of that wonderful resurrection was a turning point as far as the message of the gospel and the opening of the hearts of people to receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So God received glory even in that situation that Lazarus was in. Sickness for the glory of God. We need to be reminded of the fact that God is sovereign. And just to put that in simple terms, God knows all and he does all right. He does all good. Amen. It's all for our good and it's all for his glory. All things work together for good. Amen. Romans 8 and 28. And so there's a wonderful promise in that. So sometimes God receives glory whenever a person enters into a sickness and a difficult time in their physical body. God receives glory as a result of the way that person responds to the grace of God. The way that that person responds. And if God gets glory and his work and his ministry is furthered even in that, then we can say praise God for that. I know some of you may disagree with me, but Johnny Erickson Tata is a great example of that. We would have never had known her name if it hadn't been for the tragic accident that left her paralyzed. All the days of her adult life, paralyzed. You listen to her on the radio, and there is just a special something in her voice. A quality. A grace that's upon her. You read her books, no fluff. Let me tell you, when you read Johnny Erickson Tata, she understands what it is to walk with God. She understands what it is to know the presence of God and the glory of God. And she is a living testimony all over the world. She has turned her sickness and her tragedy into a worldwide ministry that affects thousands upon thousands of people for the glory of God. So her response in that situation, Jesus said, it's better for a person to go into the kingdom of God with one eye than to enter into hellfire with both eyes. And we understand that our physical bodies, while they are important, the most important thing is your relationship with God, where you stand with God, and are you ready to meet God? That's even more important, even than your physical body. Amen. Divine healing. He's the source of our healing. And for the last part of this service this morning, I want to talk specifically about what the Bible says about divine healing. Because not only does God receive the glory whenever a person's response to their physical need and God gives them grace and their response brings glory to God, but not only that, God receives glory whenever a person is miraculously healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was not only for the days of the disciples. Only people who ignore written records down through the centuries are going to make a statement like that. John Wesley alone in his journals recorded 240 different divine healings in his ministry alone. And that was hundreds of years after the early church and the disciples. And we know, and I would say that probably the majority of us here in this service this morning, either you have personally been healed or you know of those who have been healed by the power of God. I can mention quickly too, Brother Huff, that was healed whenever he had that stroke, and God within just a few hours, as people everywhere prayed and sought the Lord, called upon the Lord, the Lord stepped into that hospital room and he was healed for the glory of God. Amen. And that testimony has went into many places. Thank God for that. Not only that, I was thinking about Nettie's healing that she had. But the doctor said, you will have to have this surgery. There's no way it's going to resolve itself. But we prayed and many people called upon the Lord. And the Lord touched Nettie. And the Lord healed her for the glory of God. I could keep going down the list here of those of us here in this service this morning. And so we are living testimonies right here in this place that he is able and he desires to heal for the glory of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says it's available to us in the atonement. John chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. You cannot separate healing from the work of Christ. It can't be done. Whenever you look at the scripture, you realize that it was one. It was part and parcel, each together. That whenever he provided salvation and forgiveness and a way where men could be redeemed along with it, coupled with it, he provided this wonderful gift of healing. Amen. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about our sins, the things that we have committed against God. And so he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, our lawlessness, our stubbornness, our self-will. That's what it's describing there in our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, the purchase of our rest and our salvation was available to us only through Jesus Christ. And with his stripes, we are healed. And all that Jesus accomplished on Calvary, the forgiveness of sin and the justification of our lives and restoring us back to God. He's also provided for us divine healing. Amen. It's in the atonement. As I said, it's also a part of the gospel message. You can't preach the gospel without preaching Divine healing. Amen. If you don't think that that a person can be healed, then you also are going to have to throw out your salvation. Because they come together. They are one, and there were two parts in one, part and parcel. They are one in the same. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Glory to God. Amen. And so all of this provision of the Lord through the atonement and through the message of the gospel, and even in our calling, being called, sent forth to declare and to preach the gospel. When we go forth preaching, we are also to go forth to preach the gospel and divine healing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think Brother Huff would remember this, but at the close of most of those services in India, that they would come forth not only by the hundreds of people, they would come to the altar to receive from the Lord, some of them to be saved. But I've never seen this before or ever in my life. They all brought their own little bottles of oil with them. They those that were sick, they would bring their bottle of oil up there and they would stick it out to you, and you had to stick your finger down in that bottle of oil. And I was hoping, I didn't know what it was. I was hoping it was oil. I didn't know. I just stuck my finger down there and anointed them with the oil that they had provided, because they believed that the Lord could heal their bodies as well as meet their spiritual needs. Glory to God. Whatever that they might be. Glory to God. So when you're called to preach the gospel, you are also called to pray for the sick and to bring deliverance and healing to those that are bound in their sickness. Matthew 10 and verse number 7 and 8. And as you go preaching, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that was in the dispensation of the gospel, as Jesus was sending his apostles and disciples out in ministry. He was commanding them, preach the gospel and heal the sick, deliver them from these physical ailments in their body. It's confirmed not just in the gospels, but confirmed in the early church in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. The hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Skipping down to verse 15, that's Acts 5 and verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's the book of Acts. And so we have it in the challenge of the disciples in the gospel, and now confirmed in the early church, that they were to go forth preaching the gospel and healing sick bodies. Amen. And even Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven in his great commission, which we usually give only the emphasis upon carrying the gospel to all nations. But we don't need to neglect that a part of that commission was also healing the sick. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful promise that we have, that even was confirmed by the last words of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. Amen. And so let's just recap a few things here. Sickness sometimes comes because we have sinned and rebelled against God, and we have opened up the door for Satan to attack our physical bodies. Sometimes sickness comes because of our own doing. We defile or abuse our own physical body, and as a result, we pay the consequences in our physical health. Another thing is that there is a sickness unto death, that we are going to die, every one of us, unless Jesus comes in the rapture and we're raptured out of this place, which that may happen really soon. But if it doesn't, then we're all going by the way of the grave. And it's as our physical body declines, there will come that day. Sometimes there is a sickness that brings us to that appointment that we have with death. And then fourth, there is a sickness for the glory of God. Sometimes God receives the glory whenever we react and we respond in the proper way to the things that are going on, even in our physical bodies. But then the last thing that we're talking about, and that is the fact that God receives glory whenever a person is divinely healed. The power of God touches that life and sets them free from physical sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to follow the pattern of the scripture from the book of James. If you're sick, here's the instructions. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? The word there means, do you have problems, troubles? Are you troubled? It's not necessarily talking about just a physical problem. But if you have afflictions or you have troubles in your life, then it says, let him pray. And I just really believe that what that means, if you have the strength and the ability to pray for yourself, do it. Call upon the Lord. Pray if you're in need. Whatever your trouble or your problem is, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean? Well, it means that you don't wait a week or two or three and then get mad because the preacher never checked on you and he never knew about it. It means when you're sick, you're weak in your physical body, then you call for the elders. Now, what's it talking about? It's talking about those that are established in the church as the leaders and the authorities in the church. As an important thing, because God always works through spiritual leadership. That doesn't necessarily mean they're more important or more spiritual than anybody else in the church. It just means God works through spiritual authorities and spiritual leaders in the church. So when you're sick, the Bible says, call on them, summon them. Let them know that you are in need so that they will come, so that the elders will come to pray for you and anointing you with oil and the prayer of faith. And so the pastors and the elders need to be able to pray a prayer of faith. It's one thing to go through the motion of praying for someone, but we also need to understand that we have a responsibility in this place of leadership to have a touch of God and to be walking in faith and walking in the Spirit, so that whenever we are called upon to go and to pray excuse me, for someone in their need, that we can truly pray the prayer of faith. Amen. Glory to God. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith. Now this is the promise of God. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, you notice the connection, the association with our lifestyle and our activities with sin. That if you, at that time, that there's an examination, you find out that you have opened up a door of access to your life. That during that time, that you confess that and you take care of that so that you can be healed. They shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So here you are making restitution. Here you are taking care of any of these areas of your life that may have opened up a door for the attack of the enemy so that you can be in a position to receive the healing that God has for you. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Aren't those wonderful verses? Wonderful promises from the Word of God. Amen. As just a boy, and we would get sick, you know how kids do, get sick with the mumps and the measles and the flu and the various things. And my mom always called our pastor. And he would come in. Our pastor was a very big, tall man, and he commanded authority. I mean, you respected him, you loved him, but he just had this presence about him. When he stepped into the room, into the house, and you were sick, you knew he was getting ready to pray a prayer. It wasn't going to be a light prayer. He was going to pray a prayer, and he did. And I grew up with that kind of an experience. The pastor anointing me with oil, laying hands upon me or my brothers or my mother, different members of the family, praying for us and experiencing the touch of God and the assurance and the comfort that God was moving in our physical needs, and he was concerned about us in our physical bodies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you're sick, what do? You say, I need help. I need the preacher and the elders to come and to pray for me. I need them to anoint me with oil. I need them to be able to pray a prayer of faith. Amen. The prayer of faith will save the sick. What a wonderful promise. Hallelujah. What a wonderful way to bring glory to God. Amen. You see that all through the scripture. Remember the story there of that man crippled all those years at the beautiful gate? And whenever he was healed that day, you talk about a commotion. You talk about God getting the glory. That man that they all had seen for years sitting by Gate Beautiful, but now he's leaping and jumping and praising God. And he didn't know all that had happened to him. All that he knew is that he was sick. He was crippled. He was in need. And now God has touched him and has helped him to be free from that physical need that he had. Amen. I have a strong conviction that we do not avail ourselves of the gift of healing as much as we should be in a spirit-filled church. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit tonight. Be filled with the Spirit and then seek earnestly these gifts. These gifts seek to be used of the Lord in the gifts that you might be used of the Lord, even the gifts of healing. Now, whenever you call for the elders and the leaders of the church, that doesn't mean that there aren't times in a church service or different circumstances when God has given to an individual in the church the gift of healing, that person cannot be used of the Lord to pray for the sick. Amen. Glory to God. In the body of Christ, there should be all these gifts of the Spirit in operation, including healings. Healings. Hallelujah. As a child, one of the most vivid things that I remember was when my mother had this terrible crick in her neck. This had gone on for days, and she was just bent over like this. And I, you know, a child, you don't know what's going on. I just thought, well, mom's probably just going to be that way from now on. She was all bent over like this, and I saw her go up to the front as they were praying for the sick. And the pastor and the different ones, they laid hands on her. They prayed. I mean, they prayed. They got a hold of God. And I saw my mom, and she started straightening up that neck. And just in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, she was completely healed. Amen. And now that makes an impression on you when you're a kid. Whenever you see God moving miraculously to change circumstances in our physical body, He cares about you. He cares about your physical body, and He wants your body to bring Him glory. Amen. And for this reason, He has provided this wonderful blessing whereby we can be healed. Hallelujah. And bring glory to God. Hallelujah.